Please stand as you are able for the reading of God's word. A reading from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath into you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these breaths. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Please bow with me. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we may see you. Instruct us, Holy Spirit, as we seek to apply your holy word to our lives this very day as we study this passage before us. Enable us to see this passage in a fresh new way and empower us to act on your words to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, we're approximately 10 hours into our new year of 2023. If you look up statistics on a new year resolution, the results are pretty much all over the place, but the common denominator in most of them is that your success in keeping a New Year resolution is pretty dismal. If you are one who makes New Year resolution, statistics show approximately 10% success rate. Nonetheless, looking back over the past year or years and looking forward to the coming year is a great opportunity to apply new habits, to correct unhealthy habits, to make adjustments, or perhaps even set new goals. However, even with the greatest intentions to make change, it can be difficult to stay the course. If you fall into the over 50 category that I'm in, only 14% of us even make resolutions, and I think likely because as we get older, we realize we're not going to keep them anyway. We may have good intentions and apply discipline and willpower, but these changes don't usually come easy. In fact, there are even false philosophies written by influential leaders that would have people think that through self-help they can overcome their sinful nature. We are reminded by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the second chapter, that we are dead in our sins. The only way we can have new life is becoming a new creature through Jesus Christ. As usual, as I began searching what God would have for us from His Word and a New Year's message, I began it always, as always, just by praying and seeking direction through the Holy Spirit. It's always interesting to me to see how He will direct me and teach me through the study of His Word, so that in return, I can share it with you. As God would have it this time, a friend sent me an early morning prayer devotion entitled, Dry Bones Come Alive. I listened and realized the Holy Spirit was convicting me to dig into this passage from Ezekiel and to learn from it. This passage certainly would not be one that I would just randomly pick and create a message from, especially for New Year's. So I was obedient, and I began to study, and I soon discovered that this was fitting to head into a new year. I have never done a study specifically on Ezekiel, so this was a first for me. I believe there is much here to apply. So as we begin, I would like to share with you some background on this man, Ezekiel. The name Ezekiel means strengthened by God. Ezekiel grew up in Jerusalem. He trained to be a priest in the temple. He is the author of this Old Testament book that we're reading from. In approximately 597 BC, a group of captives, along with King Jehoiakim, were taken to Babylon, and Ezekiel was among this group. Ezekiel was a captive of the Babylonians when God called him to be a prophet. Ezekiel's ministry began with judgment and condemnation of the nation Judah. After the destruction of Jerusalem, Ezekiel's prophecies speak of hope for the future. His desire was to encourage the people to learn from their failures. Ezekiel announced impending judgment upon the nations that surrounded Judah and reestablished hope for the restoration of Israel. As a prophet, Ezekiel delivered these messages from God. He was very straightforward, using language everyone could clearly understand. In other words, he didn't beat around the bush. God instructed Ezekiel to warn the people of the punishment that would take place if they did not follow him. God held Ezekiel accountable to deliver his messages, and Ezekiel did not hesitate to follow God's instructions. He had a passionate view of judgment and hope, and reflected God's own sorrow over people's sins. In Ezekiel's lifetime, he experienced opposition. Yet he expressed God's desire that the wicked turn from their evil ways and live. Through God's ways of using Ezekiel's life, we can clearly see the importance of obedience to God's call on our lives as we profess our faith and trust in Him alone. Ezekiel tells us judgment is coming. It will take place, declares the Sovereign Lord. We, like Ezekiel, must warn others and share with them the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. This is God's design for His people. This is our duty as followers of Christ. Those who are dead in their sin need new life. An alteration or human correction will not save those lost in sin. This passage from Ezekiel 37 is a vision given by God to Ezekiel. This vision was given after God had directed Ezekiel to prophesy the rebirth of Israel in the previous chapter 36. God announced through the prophet that Israel would be restored to her land and blessing under the leadership of David. This promise seemed impossible in Israel's present condition. Israel was dead as a nation, deprived of her land, her king, and her temple. Israel had been divided and dispersed for so long that it seemed impossible to restore and unify them. So God gave Ezekiel a vision of the dry bones as a sign. In the first verse of today's passage, God transported Ezekiel in a vision to a valley of dry bones. God directed him to speak to the bones. Verse 2 tells of God leading Ezekiel around through the bones. The bodies that these bones belong to have obviously been there for a long period of time. I looked up, the human body has some 206 bones. And each, there were thousands and thousands of bodies in this valley. We are told the bones are very dry, indicating these bodies were indeed there a long time, and with the exposure to a variety of weather, birds, and animals, they are now likely very brittle. After this grisly tour, God asked Ezekiel in verse 3, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Let's examine the evidence for a moment here. These bones are dry, they're dead for a long time, they're brittle. But Ezekiel responds, "Oh Lord, you know." We don't know Ezekiel's tone here, but perhaps he was thinking more like, "You may know the answer to that question, Lord, but I definitely don't." However, the prophet does not outright deny the possibility of God's question. Ezekiel defers the question to the God who knows and wants to be known. Verse 4, "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.'" Ezekiel knows full well that he has no human powers to restore these bones to life. He deliberately left the matter with God. He relied on God's power and wisdom. God gave Ezekiel something to do. He commanded him to speak, to prophesy to the dry, dead bones. In our humanness, it would seem that this was vain and foolish. Just as Ezekiel was obedient to God's command, we too must have reverence for God's word. Do we place our trust in his word for conversions and rely on the power which will bless men? Or do we attempt in our own efforts to change people? Ezekiel prophesies as God commanded. We see the bones come together, tendons and flesh appear. They are covered with skin, but there's no breath in them. So God tells Ezekiel to prophesy a second time. This time, to the breath itself. The breath comes, the bodies came to life, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. He continues in the remaining verses, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you and you shall live that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord." The breath of Ezekiel, and they stood on their feet. There is no hope for humanity and man, only by the word of God and the spirit of God and united to the King. The bones were not revived to become a group of spectators or to leave them their own comfort. Without God, his word, and the Holy Spirit, we will be the army of the dead. But without the true breath of God, in God's time, he brought restoration of the Jews to their own land, their own nationality. He restored. We see statements from God. "Then you shall know I am the Lord." God made it clear. And without any in charge of everything from spiritual revival to conforming the lives and hearts of his people. You and I are among people who are dead in sin. We probably will see very little results in attempting to bring back to life. That would be an attempt to rearrange the skeletons in Ezekiel's valley. As God's people, we are responsible to live out the God of dead hearts. We must place our trust in God to raise his people from the death of sin to new life in Christ. Only God, John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That he has commanded us to preach in his wisdom, he will bring the dead to new life as he sees fit. We must recognize the word as God's, and it is essential. And we must boldly pray for the Spirit to move. God's servants. How would you describe your life? Into the flesh, full of hot air, the dead. What does God want from us this new year that lies ahead? He's not looking to confuse us. I love this verse from Micah 6, verse 8. He has told us what is good and to walk humbly with your God. This blows me away. The latest is the literal word of God. Some think it's God's word, but we're not supposed to take it literally. It said God's people are to be brief on this, we might say that if we do everything opposite of the world, we would be pretty close to living. That is what Ezekiel was facing as God's people were falling into self-pleasure with idol worship itself so much more. Our personal feelings define reality. We choose our own identity. Profit and self-interest comes first. God's word instructs us as followers of Christ. The image of God defines humankind. Feelings have God determines truth. God decides who and what I am. Love for is what matters, is paramount. It would seem as Ezekiel stood before the seemingly impossible task of working to restore Israel's present condition, that would seem to be the common mindset in our country's present condition as well. That's not how Ezekiel read God, and he reflected God's sorrow for people's sins and the condition they had fallen into. About someone going to hell. Hell is forever. It gives me goosebumps when I sit and think about, are we motivated by God's word this morning as we relive this incredible vision from God to Ezekiel? If there is one thing we can apply to our lives in this coming year, it would be humility. The recipe desire is to create a mind we didn't make ourselves. God created all things, including us. Acknowledge spiritual gifts if you're a follower of Jesus. All come from him, so no one is worth more than the other person. Patient, entrusted the care of this earth. Protecting and managing the earth's resources are ways to walk humbly with God. As we recognize to act, God has shown mercy to us, even when they don't treat us the same way. Apart from God's grace, we have nothing. Christ, we have eternal condemnation. When we offer mercy to others, we will realize we are on the same as ourselves. Someone else. The power to walk humbly with God, to love mercy and to act justice, to join his work, just like he invited Ezekiel. Are you up for this awesome privilege to demonstrate to our community what it really looks like? There's a song written by Lauren Daigle entitled, Be So Fitting, to tie together with the ending of our time together. So I would like to play that at this time. You can remain seated. Song. Meditate on some of the things that we sing along with it. That'd be great. For those here this morning and also for those who are live streaming with us, as we face this new year, it's important to know where you're at with the Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, as followers of Christ, is to lead others to Jesus. Ron will be up here this morning to your eternity. Please come up and pray with us. Gracious, please, this very moment, that it is your breath alone that brings life to dry bones and weary souls. Pour out your Spirit upon us, with others through our daily lives. May they see your power to call them out of the valley of dry bones into your kingdom of eternal glory. May our hands hold the hand of the poor. Keep us ever in your presence and bless us with your wisdom. Speak in our circumstances. Speak peace into our minds. Revive our hearts, rejoin among us with your holy fed and lifeless. Raise up New Hope Community Church as an army of warriors for your purposes here on this earth and restore salvation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Before I send you off, I invite you to the potluck next door. I'm going to pray for that, for the meal. Their target time is 11. Hear these words, so please stick around and join us for them. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew in their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They prepared. We thank you for the time of fellowship. We thank you for all the hands that have prepared these foods and for the ability to taste them and enjoy them and digest them. Thank you for the real food, the fellowship to follow, and all the events of this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.